Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
Hey, the band is back together. The well-traveled Jeff Goodman is back on his couch. We've got Bob Ryan in his usual spot in his home library, and I'm Gary, and I'm at the kitchen table. So there you go. We are brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Score this NFL season and what's left of it with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money line bet. That's $150 if your team wins. Okay, guys, we got some work to do. We're going to start with the up-and-comers, if you will. And at the time of this recording, the Celtics were upended by an Oklahoma City team that people said were on the rise, but boy, they have stepped on the gas. And when you take a look out west here, Bob, it's some of these new young teams that are really causing trouble. Just your thoughts on OKC and their win over the Celtics.
Well, they're a growth stock, and I want my broker to pick up a few shares. Okay, they're good and they're fun, and the fans have something to look forward to there for a couple of reasons. They got a star / borderline superstar in Gilgeous Alexander, and they've got this phenomenon Chet Holmgren, and they've got stuff. They just and a coach with New England roots, Mark Daniel, by the way, the young he may be the youngest coach in the league. Jeff, you think? I don't know, but they're worth it. And I thought Adam Himmelsbach in the Boston Globe this morning made an interesting observation about the crowd excitement and the buzz that you have not felt in that town. You know, there was there a decade ago with young Russell Westbrook or something, but not, it's been notably absent. Now they went through the tanking thing, and guess what? Another team in sports, it looks like the tankerama might be fruitful. You know, the Sixers did it and they got good. The Astros did it and they won it all. And now the OKC, it looks like they're on the move. But and the other team, by the way, in the East that I said is the growth stock I like is Orlando. I like their young bigs and by the way, Holmgren, those two threes were killers last night. Those two late threes, Celtics are right on the verge and he knocks down those threes. Oh, you know, it's he was worth waiting for, don't you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, listen, as long as he stays healthy, and that's what I keep saying about him, he might be Victor-esque. I mean, again, it's not different, and he's a much better shooter from three. Shooter.
And boy, and he blocks some, I mean, they're both in block shots, but he's had as many as six or more in the game already this year. So they're good. And that town, you know, there was a wonderful book that was out that I read that I love called Boomtown. And it was not about sports specifically. It was about the Oklahoma City's growth, but it featured a lot of the Thunder and the passionate, the love affair that City had with Westbrook at the time. I recommend this book. It's really good. It's I forget the name of the author, but it's called Boomtown. You'll find it, anybody out there. So anyway, now we digress.
But okay, but quickly so, on Oklahoma City, because I never thought it was going to have the success, or when I say success, I mean the interest from the fans. I always thought of Oklahoma as a college town or a college state, Jeff, if you will. But if we go back, Bob, it was the Hornets, right? They had to move there because of Katrina, and they played a season there, and that was Chris Paul. And they were, I think, only supposed to be there for a year, and then they moved back, and we thought it would be over. Then Seattle ended up moving. I mean, Jeff, did you have a feeling that the NBA would work in Oklahoma City? Because I did not.
No, I don't think anybody did. But when you brought, you know, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and James Harden there, it helps, right? It helps. And, you know, give Sam Presti a lot of credit. He's done this now twice. Now, again, you fell into Kevin Durant. But the drafting of Russell Westbrook was one that, you know, he barely did anything coming out of UCLA. Nobody thought he'd be what he was. And now you look at this team, and again, assembled by two Massachusetts guys in a way, right? You've got Sam Presti, an Emerson product who grew up and went to, I think he went to Concord Carlisle, maybe. And then Mark Daigneault, as Bob said, a Leominster kid who I first met when he was like a manager under Billy Donovan in Florida. And I just thought, honestly, when Presti made him a coach a couple of years ago, I was like, all right, you know, Billy Donovan didn't work. He just wants a yes man. Well, that yes man has been pretty damn good, and he's given him some good young players, right? Nobody thought Shea was going to be this good. That was a hell of a draft. I think they got him at like 10 or 12 or something 11. Like that.
I had to look it 11. Up, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, 11th. And here's another thing with this kid, you know, Alexander, or SGA is, I think, the term now.
Yes.
It's not just one word. It's the initials, right? This is his third team. And you have seen him improve from 10 points a game to 15 points a game. I mean, Jeff, I know you saw him at Kentucky, right? Obviously, you know him from, you probably saw him in high school, for God's sakes. So just talk about the progression of this kid, because did anybody see this coming?
No. And honestly, in high school, he was like the least heralded of that class that came in to Kentucky that year. He was like a top 50-ish player. Nobody thought he'd ever be this. I mean, the biggest transformation, I think, with Shea, you know, he's not a great shooter. Obviously, he's a great scorer. But it's his ability to cut down his turnovers this year, you know.
Zero turnovers in last night's game.
Right, it's crazy. I mean, some of these guys, like Tyrese Haliburton, what he's been able to do, and now Shea, and you look at them and their usage and their you know, ability to score and distribute without committing a ton of turnovers, really impressive. But again, you got him, you got Holmgren, you got Jalen Williams out of Santa Clara. That a lot of people thought, like, what is Sam Presti doing here? He's reaching, myself included. And Jalen Williams has been awesome. And you've got toughness with Lu Dort, and they're all young. I think Shea's 25, and, you know, Chet's got to be, like, 22, and Jalen Williams got to be 22 or 23. Josh Giddey's been solid. So they've got a group that if they keep them together, and that was always the question with Oklahoma City, right? Like, can you pay these guys? Can you keep them together? Or eventually, are they going to want to go to a bigger market? So I feel like you've got a window that's not nearly as big as some other windows. You've got to take advantage here in the next few years.
What do you think of the kid? What do you think of this kid, SGA, and with what's going on in Oklahoma City? And can they stick, Bob? Can it last? Because right now, you know, you're looking at the Western Conference, Timberwolves, Thunder, then Nuggets, Clippers, Kings, and Pelicans, your top six. I mean, that is a foreign list.
Oh, wait a minute. And also, the Clippers are on the move. And the Clippers are...
You could say that, but are they going to stay healthy enough?
I understand, but they look... Now they're looking like they're supposed... They thought they were going to look. Yeah. We'll see how long it lasts. Yeah. But, Jeff, how often... How many teams in the league of any consequence? Okay, let's say there's 15 teams out of the half the league is consequential, or 16. All right, how many of them are not in the category of, oh, so and so has to stay healthy, so and so has to stay healthy, so and so has to stay healthy, so and so every it's
actually I think the given. Celtics, Bob, it's I think given. The Celtics are the one team, other than like Jason Tatum, that you could take a guy off the floor and they could still beat just about anybody, which is crazy to say. But they, because they have five guys that are all capable of going for 20 on a given night. How many other teams, like even Oklahoma City, are their fifth guys like Lou Dort? Like Lou Dort's okay. But you can't lose Shea or Chet or Jalen Williams right now. Like they're a good young team. They're probably a couple years away, Gary. But they are a fun team to watch. And again, if you haven't seen Chet Holmgren, go watch him, because as much as we built Victor up to be this unicorn, Chet's right there with him.
Oh, well, you know, it seems to be unanimous opinion that if I got to ask you before I and are you which camp are you in? He's eligible to be rookie of the year, or he isn't eligible to be rookie of the year? Which camp are you
in? He's eligible. He hasn't played.
Thank you.
He hasn't played.
This is nonsensical issue that he didn't play a second.
That's right.
Oh, he might have practiced. Oh, great. Come on. He's a rookie, period. Yeah. Okay. I got one little subplot. What do SGA, Dort, and Giddey all have in common?
I don't know.
None of them were born in the United States of America.
Oh, yeah.
And it leads me to this aside, on the aside. The time has come, has the time come for the all-star format to be us against the world?
Ooh, we probably get killed.
But look, here's their starting front line. You ready? Embiid, Antetokounmpo, and Doncic. Yeah. If you call Doncic a whatever he is, he's a you talk about you know, positionless. You got SGA now. He's a Canadian, and you know, we. So I'm just saying. I think that's the all-star game.
Yeah, you were saying Jokic, Embiid, and who up?
Oh, Jokic. I forgot to mention him. Jokic. I said Jokic, Antetokounmpo, Doncic. Doncic, Jokic, and then throw in SGA. How about that team?
And Embiid.
Embiid, hey. Antetokounmpo, Jokic, Doncic. Now, could they
run us out of the building?
Big guys?
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that game because they destroy us.
But
yeah,
all right. I'm just thinking that's the all-star game we need.
I don't know. NHL did that for a while, didn't they?
Did they?
Well, I was there at one point where they had, because of all the Soviet players and so, but I think the United States got smoked in that. But because the Canadians and the Soviets, I mean, forget it. I hear you, Bob, but I'm kind of with Jeff on this one. I don't know about our chances, which is great. I mean, let's face it.
No, that's the point I'm making.
It's an international game. It's phenomenal.
That's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
And now, they're a little shy on guards. I don't know how many guards are, but the front court is ridiculous. This reminds me of 20 years ago, the last All-Star game I went to, by the way, 24 years ago now. And I was in Oakland in 2000. And the column I wrote had to do with the front court, terrifying front court of the West. Shaq, Garnett, and Duncan, which at the time was a colossal young, you know, all fairly young and all, you know, extraordinary. And, you know, this is what, here we are 24 years later. We got another possibility for that kind of an awesome front court.
Score early this NFL season with FanDuel. You know what's America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money line bet. Look, if you're not good at math, you know that's a good deal. I mean, I'm not good at math, and I know that's a good deal. That's $150 if your team wins. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. The app is easy to use, so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. Visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off your NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. All right, here we go, folks. Now pay attention to this. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $5 pregame money line wager required. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com, gambling helpline ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSense.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
What do you guys think of the top two in the West? And Bobby, you know, the Timberwolves and Thunder, are they going to last? Are they going to be standing at the end in some fashion?
Well, the Timberwolves are being run by a 36-year-old point guard having a good year. And I don't know what would happen if that 36-year-old point guard, Mike Conley, weren't available, which brings us back to what Jeff was putting out 5 minutes ago, you know, about the health thing. But I think they're very much real. I mean, Anthony Edwards has taken a step up. We all agree to that. And they got the two big guys, and they're very dangerous. I think they're a threat. Yeah, absolutely. But I think in their case, the linchpin, they got to have Conley.
Yeah, well, Conley's their leader, right? Like, he's not the most vocal guy, but like, they needed an adult in the room there to lead them.
Yeah.
And he's perfect for that. Like, you're not going to find a classier guy than Mike Conley, period. He doesn't care about himself, his numbers, any of that. Just wants to win. He does it really quietly. So I think Anthony Edwards to watch him and Carl Anthony Towns to watch him. And yeah, I still don't love their team come playoff team time.
Yeah.
With Gobert and Towns and Naz Reid. Like, I don't love how that team is put together come playoff time, and I'm not sure Anthony Edwards is ready for it yet.
So, well, yeah, go ahead, Bob.
No, I was going to say the West. There's no perfect team anywhere, obviously, and you know, but there's things to think about. You know, Phoenix, if they finally got the three back together, you know, for however briefly.
Well, yeah, I mean, and let's talk about the Suns and the Lakers and the Warriors, and I know Bob has some thoughts on the Warriors, but. You know, those are the three with the stars. Bob, do those teams have anything left in the tank?
Well, first of all, Phoenix's biggest, everyone knows their bench is highly questionable. They are so dependent on those three because they really don't have much else. And their bench is a federal witness protection program bench and for the most part. So, you know, it's going to be wide open. It's going to be wide open. There's going to be a lot of teams that could catch fire, a la Miami last year. Miami gets in, remember, you know, as like an 8 seed or something, and look what they did. And somebody might catch fire at that point. I don't think it's going to be the Lakers, but then again, once again, in this year, the door is open. The door is open, and plenty of teams are knocking on it.
Bob, come on! You're ripping on poor Bol Bol coming off the bench last night and getting
how many minutes?
11 points, 9 rebounds in 20 minutes for Bol Bol.
Well, maybe they should use him more because he hadn't been playing.
No, he's not very good. He's talented. But there's a reason why he has bounced around and not played a whole lot in his NBA career. Yeah, but Beal's back. Like you said, Beal's back. If they can get all three on the same page and keep them healthy, that's again, like you said, listen, it comes down to health as much as anything else come playoff time, because there's a bunch of teams where if things break right, they can get there. I think they can get to the finals.
Yeah, well, this is what, as I said, Miami is your Exhibit A. Forever.
That's right.
As long as we have this current format, with the play-in and the blah-blah-blah, the whole thing, and this is the team, they go to the finals and they acquit themselves well, and there could be, every year there could be a Miami. There's possibilities open for a Miami, including Miami this year again. So, you know, I think the playoffs, in that sense, are going to be captivating. I think they're going to be really fun. There's going to be a lot of good stuff. And by the way, my mind is just racing in this stuff. Jeff, we talked last week about White's chances of making the All-Star game. As deserving as he is, the field is so crowded.
I know.
It's so crowded.
All right, here's my take, though. If you're going to choose between Derek White and Jaylen Brown, who are you choosing?
Oh, this year? I'm White. Yeah. We would,
of course.
Not even a hesitation. Course. But if that helps. But I'm just saying the guards are stacked in the East.
I know. I just think, man, like the intangibles that Derek White brings to this team, You know, again, I know the numbers might not completely support it because they're not, he doesn't blow you away, but he's an elite defender and he just makes this team go. In a lot of ways, he's what's gotten this team to mesh together because of his unselfishness, because of, you know, even kind of his personality within that locker room. Like, he just does so many things that you can't put a price on.
His on-court versatility.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking a guy, a guard that is suddenly making a name for himself blocking shots. We're talking about a guy who can make big three last night. If they've pulled that comeback off, that big three, what a tough shot that was. He goes to the hoop extraordinarily well at the end of the break. He makes the right pass at the right time. He's the most efficient. That's the word I keep coming up with him. There was a Twitter thing last night. You know, that's been around, X thing, excuse me. Thank you. Sorry, Elon. It's an X thing out there about, you know, which Celtics remind you of, you know, DJ, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I finally thought about it. He's the first Derek White. He isn't quite like anybody. He is his. Don't give me, DJ was so sui generis. He's going to remain a part of his style, his whole persona, the whole package, the good, the bad. That's DJ, and there ain't never going to be another DJ. And that's true about so many great players. They just have their own niche, and nobody else is them. Derek White ain't anybody else. He's the first Derek White, I'm here to tell you.
Well, I'll tell you one of the things I read. I think Himmelsbach wrote about this, is Derek White's advanced statistics, the sabermetrics of the NBA. Jeff, I'll toss this to you. Do you think now 50% of the vote goes to the fans, 25% to the players, and 25% to the media? So obviously the media and the players know about this guy because of the way fans digest the stats of the NBA. Do you think there's a chance that he does get that vote because they're aware of those other numbers?
No. I don't. I just don't think he's got enough juice with him. Yeah, he's not a big personality. He's not a big name. You know, most people, again, if the casual the casual NBA fan is going to know Tatum, Brown, maybe Porzingis, maybe Jrue Holiday because he won a title a couple of years ago in Milwaukee. But the fifth name off their mouths is going to be Derek White. And it's sad, but I don't think Derek White cares. So that's the beauty of Derek White.
He'll have to be named. You know, his only hope is to get named by the coach. You know, and that's a possibility for sure. But the field is just so damn crowded with big names, including Jalen Brunson, who's now become a big name because he's in New York doing what he does. Of course, Halliburton's a shoe-in, and Maxey has to be in. Trae Young has to be in, I think. You know, it's going to be very difficult for him. He's not going to any way, shape, or form could get voted in, and he is more deserving than Brown this year. I'm defending Brown in a lot of ways, but the answer to that question, no, White deserves it ahead of him. So,
well,
we had a situation last night that I found intriguing. That speaks to the modern NBA as much as anything imaginable. Had someone told you 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, maybe even 60 years ago, 1964, that an NBA team would put out a lineup starting a game with three guards and two guys 6'7", and they would win the game. That is a Division III front line for many schools.
So what was the starting five? Bob, what was the starting five?
It was Stephon, Chris, Clay, Jason, Trace Jackson.
He's Jackson, a little bigger than 6'7".
He's listed at 6'7", and Kuminga, who's listed at 6'7".
Kuminga's 6'7". Trace is not 6'7". Trace is not 6'7".
6'8 and a quarter? What?
I think he's 6'9".
I looked him up, and they got him listed at 6'7". All right.
I'm looking now.
So that is – it's just – now, on the same
six,
night –
6'9". 6'9" is what they list him at.
Maybe I didn't put my glasses on. I don't know.
No. But still he's a very small ball five. He's a small ball five.
That's a three-guard lineup that starting, and which is very rare enough in college, you know. It's and they went. Now, the point is, that's the NBA today, 2020. Everybody told you that we would devolve, we'd be going down. At the same time, by the way, in the same evening, that a 7'3 Latvian goes for 30 points and a 7'4 kid from Minnesota hits two monster threes to upend the Celtics. This is the world we're living in, folks. 7'3 guy. And by the way, Porzingis, how many threes? Three last night, maybe? I don't know. 7'4 guys out there shooting threes, and a team starting five guys, 6'7 or under, winning an NBA game. This is where we are. I just find it, I'm just throwing it out there. It just speaks to where the game is and how it's gone. It used to be inside out, and now it's out, outer, and you know, the universe.
While we're on the subject of Golden State, I don't know if you guys saw, but if you haven't, try to find it on Twitter. Klay Thompson talking yesterday about how he had a conversation with Steve Kerr 2 days ago, and Kerr reminded him, I guess he's had a lot of negative energy on the court. You know, Klay gets frustrated, and you can see it. He doesn't hide it well when he's not playing well. And Kerr told him, hey, listen, you know, I want you to think about, this is the end for you. You know, Klay's, I don't know, 30, what is he, 33, but he's really, you know, coming to the end here because of the injuries. And he said, I want you to enjoy this last chapter of your career. Start to kind of think that way of like trying to teach the young guys a little bit. Don't bring as much negative energy to the court. Try to just kind of loosen up and enjoy it and think about all you've accomplished and just have fun this last, whatever it's going to be, year, two, 3 years, whatever it is. And I thought it was really insightful. And again, I give Steve Kerr a lot of credit because he just knows how to deal with people. Well, he's so good at that and pushing the right buttons with, it doesn't have to be players. It can be anybody.
That's interesting. He's a Hall of Fame coach, obviously, and it's true. That's very interesting, though, about Klay. And so there.
Well, it's hard, you know. It's hard with Klay, I think that it was supposed to be he and Steph. I think it's very hard for athletes to deal with injuries when they miss and he missed a lot of time.
Yeah.
Where he's probably feels he has to try to make up for that time he lost, and he can't because it was supposed to be he and Steph all the way, and he was done for what, a year and a half, two?
Yeah, he was long gone. Yeah,
I mean, he was out when they were winning titles, you know, when Durant was there. So you're right, but it's really hard. I'm sure he feels he has to try to make up for those 2 years missed, and
he averaged guys in 3-6. Seven straight years, he averaged over 20 points a game.
Yeah.
And shot basically over 40 from three every year of his career up until the injury. This year, he's averaging less than 17 a game and shooting 38% from three. He's just not Klay anymore. He'll have some games where he's Klay,
right?
But he's not Klay every night.
That's hard, man. That's hard on a guy.
Well, he can get the Hall of Fame speech ready. That's all. We can assure him of that.
No doubt about that. No doubt.
Yeah, so no, and that's really good. It's really fine. Guys, it was an interesting the Knicks made a trade, and a very interesting trade for them, I think. And you talk about immediate dividends. I mean, they win a game. Onanobi has a terrific game on defense and offense, and gets a huge standing ovation from the Garden crowd. All right, that's one game. But in general, when you heard about it, Jeff, what did you think about that trade?
I was mixed. I was really mixed because OG's going to get paid here in a year or so. They're going to have to pay him big money. He's a better shooter than RJ Barrett. He's gotten much better on that end. RJ hasn't really improved on that end of the, you know, on that part of the game, where OG was just a defensive minded player when he really came out of Indiana. And now he's become a guy who's shooting in the mid to high 30s from three, still an elite defender. So I think he's a better player than RJ Barrett. I just don't know if he's the right guy to be your, like, number two alongside Jalen Brunson. I don't know if he's enough to make that move.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't Randall already that?
Well, he is in the regular season. He just hasn't been in the postseason.
Okay, well, all right. But I – all right, well, you're – You're a hard marker. That's okay. No problem.
I just feel like Randall is. I just feel like still their team currently constituted. Randall's not a great shooter at all. OG's not a great shooter. Improved, but not a great shooter. Jalen Brunson, you know how I feel about Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson can walk on water for both of us, right?
We're both officers in the fan club. There's no question.
No doubt. I just don't think those three are enough. Like, I think they make you a little bit better, and maybe they take you from the sixth best team or the fifth best team to the fourth best team, but it doesn't put you in that Milwaukee ball.
Oh, no, definitely no question. But it puts you in the, they could mess you up in the playoffs with a right run. They get their, that they have, they're respectable. I think they're taking a step up, but no, and I agree. That's exactly where I put them. You know, they're
it's a little step up, Bob.
But definitely a playoff step team. Up.
But what does it do for you having flexibility for your future? Like that, my bigger thing is that, like, are you building around, like, if they can move Randall, I think they would move Randall. If they can move him for the right piece. But again, you can't move him right now. So if you look at it and you say, all right, these are our guys. We're going to war for the next few years with Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, and OG Anunoby. It's not enough. It's just not enough. You're going to be a mid-tier playoff team in the East. So you're going to have to do something else.
And as far as what Toronto got, first thing, Barrett goes home. I don't know if that makes any difference. He needed a change of scenery. Don't you think he was a classic change of scenery guy?
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if he goes off and averages 18 a game the rest of the year. It wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, and Quickly was a nice pickup for Toronto.
Yeah, and Quickly, who he's fallen out of favor. I don't know. You know, last year he was an item, and this year he's on the back burner in New York. And so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes off and helps them too. This could be one of the classic, good deals for. Speaking of, I'm basically deals for both teams. We just got to make a side. We cannot have a discussion this week without saying, oh my God, Tyrese Halliburton, back-to-back 20-point, 20-assist games without turnovers for the most part. And when that trade was made, because they traded one of my handful of favorite players so to get him, Sabonis, Donatas Sabonis.
Right, yep.
Is this the classic the team that helped both, both teams should be happy, even though, the Kings are one of those.
Although imagine if the Kings had a backcourt right now of De'Aaron Fox and Halliburton.
They had it.
Well, they never saw this Halliburton. And that's the biggest thing is with Halliburton, he was always too much of a guy who would want to pass and get guys involved. And he didn't have enough selfish killer to him to score. Now, it's almost like he's been forced to take on that role in Indiana.
And he certainly adapted well to it. It sure seems to fit him very well.
But in Sacramento, De'Aaron Fox has the ball in his hands so much. Halliburton's never going to be the guy because De'Aaron's so good with the ball. So it's like this one was perfect for Halliburton.
Yeah, and of course, wherever Sabonis would go, he would fit because he just knows how to play this game and period. And so that was an interesting trade, as it turns out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One of the things that surprises me, guys, is when somebody in any sport is just honest, just blunt. And Himmelsbach had another good piece with Tatum when he asked him about 2019. And Gordon Hayward had come clean and said, look, it didn't work for the following reasons. Hayward was coming back from injury, wanted to really prove himself. The young guys wanted to stake a claim. Everybody was on their own island. And I was just kind of pleasantly surprised when Jason Tatum said, yeah, that's right. We had all this talent, but it just didn't work. And here's why. We all messed up. And I just see, Jeff, and we, Bob and I have talked about this at length. Every week I see elements of the maturation process of Jason Tatum, who just sat back. He didn't like try to deny it. He didn't try to, he didn't get angry. He was just like, yeah, you know, that's the deal. We were young and we messed up. And not even young. The old guys messed up too. Everybody did.
I know, you know. And then you throw in just the X factor of throwing in Kyrie's
person. There you go. Kyrie, that's where I was going to go.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you know, we know he was it was significantly a detriment to the young players.
But can we blame it, after hearing what Jason said, though, can we blame it all on him?
No, it wasn't all on him. But again, if you had a great leader, and Al Horford is a good leader, but he's too quiet. If you had a great leader with that group, and I don't know how many great leaders there are anymore, but certainly – you know, how old was Jason Tatum then? He was
young.
Was 21.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. 20 years old. I think he was 20 years old that year. 20 years old. Of course he doesn't know what the hell's going on. He has no idea. And again, who, Marcus Smart's not your leader. We've gone through this. Jaylen Brown's not your leader. Gordon Hayward doesn't say anything. I mean, that was a team that just didn't have it. Terry Rozier was, I think, there. Like, they didn't have anybody who could teach Tatum and Jaylen Brown that it's not about your numbers. Because, I mean, I remember when Tatum, I think, told me, you know, like, he was so hell-bent on that first All-Star game.
And no, then, yeah. When
he got it.
Right. Yep.
He felt better. Like, he could exhale a little bit. And, okay, I'm not trying to prove myself every step of the way now. Now it's about when you get closer to winning a title. It's about that, because now Tatum understands, like, the numbers, whether your average is 30 or 28 or 26, it doesn't matter anymore. Now, the only thing they're telling Jason Tatum is like, well, have you won that title? Have you won that title? And until you win that title, you're not going to go down as one of the greats. That's all he hears over and over now. So it's different. Back then it was like, well, you're an all-star. Are you scoring? His worth was completely in scoring the ball then.
And another evidence of the maturation process was on display in the Oklahoma City game when, if we're being told is correct, that he wanted to get in and guard SGA, which helped turn the game around and put them in the game, a game that was actually winnable. Actually winnable.
Yeah, they were down by a lot. What, 18, 20 points in that game? Yeah.
Yeah, they were down 18 with 6:30 to go, 110 to 92. And then they got back and they were twice within two when it was a winnable game that he guarded and you know, shut down basically, you know.
He's going to be a good leader. He may never be a great leader, but he's going to be a good leader, because the one thing I always say about Jason Tatum is, like, he listens, number one. He's not arrogant. Some people can perceive, you know, his lack of emotion as arrogance. He's not arrogant. He's a sweet kid, not a kid anymore, but he's a guy who can give an honest assessment of himself. Now, again, sometimes on the court, he's frustrating to watch because of how he deals with the officials and complains. But again, the problem with that is, like, that's most kids coming in the league now.
Well, everybody does it. They see LeBron do it, but they think they can do it. You know,
right.
I mean,
that's right. When Grant Williams is doing it as the eighth man, trying to do it.
I mean, that's everywhere. But the thing that I had always wondered, Bob, and I think Jeff, you know, Jeff, you've known Tatum since how old?
15.
Yeah, okay. So he knew the game. You know, Bob, I was always wondering, was Jason Tatum going to get to where he is as a leader? Like Jeff says, a good leader. I think he's a great leader, because it's just all through – it's through behavior. You know, the rah-rah stuff, as Marcus Smart showed us, doesn't work. I wasn't so sure Tatum was going to get to this point that he is now, where he could say, yeah, back in 2019, yeah, we really screwed it up, but we're on the right path now. When you admit to failure, I sound like a motivational speaker. When you admit to failure, Bob Ryan, seriously, that's when you've arrived. When you can admit your flaws and you're secure enough to admit your flaws, That's when you've arrived.
What I agree with you, and my way of framing this is when you're talking about athletes of any sport, the great athletes and the truly great ones, talent is only the beginning.
Right.
Talent is the beginning of the story. All right, I got this raw talent. I can run. I can jump. Right. I can shoot basketball. I can juke in football. I got raw talent that nobody else has. I can throw a guy out from deep right field at third base in baseball. I got talent. Okay, but to become a true great player, you have to bring what my old friend Frank Power at Boston College called the connection between here and the body. And then the heart. The maturing thing we talk about. You got to bring the personality. You got to bring the awareness, the other stuff. It's not just about talent, raw talent. I've seen some very raw talented basketball players. They didn't know how to play the game, you know, and they didn't have these qualities that we're talking about that could have elevated them into another level. And that's what we were talking about. And talent is nice, but it's just the beginning.
Talent is only the beginning. It's a great quote in anything.
All right. Well, just remember who said it now.
Yeah, Jeff Goodman.
I want my lines, my very few good ones, I want them remembered properly, you know.
It's going to be copywritten, Bob Ryan.
Remember who called them? The Exit 16W Nets. It was me. Okay.
Well, speaking of the Nets, you have a final thought on them.
Oh, yeah. Jock Vaughn, I'm reading, he called out the Nets and basically saying, my guys aren't hustling, period. They're not playing as if they want to win. And they've become fractured. I mean, that's my word there, but that's what he's saying. Very interesting, you know, that, we'll keep my eye on that one. But I thought that got my attention. That's all. When he actually went so far as to suggest that we're not playing hard enough and we're not playing as if we really want to win. That's a very damning statement by a coach in any level in any sport. So we'll have to keep our eye in that sense on the Brooklyn Nets.
Well, Jeff, the Exit 16W Nets, that nickname will live forever because now that they're in Brooklyn, I mean, that's in stone. That's right next to the Tommy Heinsohn plaque in the New Jersey Sports Hall of Fame at the Vince Lombardi rest area. Every time I see that, I just laugh my ass off. I go, and I used to kid Tommy, hey, Jersey Sports Hall of Fame, hey, of course it's off an exit.
Oh, of course it is.
Of course it is. Oh, God. I loved it. Jets, you're great as always. Talk to you again next week. Jeff Goodman. Bob Ryan, Tangway Along for the Ride, brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Networks. Score this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money line bet. That's $150 if your team wins. We'll see you next week.